For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood. Man has sailed the seas for centuries. Among the most famous of history's sailors was Christopher Columbus, whose legendary exploits are taught in probably every school in America. Columbus's voyages have come alive in full-size replicas of two of his ships, the Niña and the Pinta, which sail the East Coast and internal river systems of the United States as floating museums. On a recent week-long visit to Charleston, educator Dave Zink said except for the captains, the crews of both ships are volunteers who come from all walks of life.
Typically, people come down to see the ships, and they're looking for something different to do. They've got time on their hands for whatever reason. They're out of college, they don't know what to be when they grow up yet. They're out of high school, don't know if they want to go to college. We have people on board that have been with the crew for 18 years.
Zink is a substitute teacher in Wisconsin when he's not sailing. His volunteer job is both fun and educational for him as well as the public he greets.
I've always had a fascination with history and sailing and teaching, and this is the best possible combination of those kinds of things. And we travel all around the country. All the different locations we get to, the people we get to meet, the historic places we get to be, there are ample opportunities to get off the ships and explore and absorb all of that.
Like his regular job, teaching school groups about Columbus and his voyages is the most rewarding thing Zink does.
The first question I ask every one of our tour groups is, what year did Columbus discover America? And the typical response is 1492. And that would be wrong. It's a trick question. Columbus never discovered America. He got close, but he never set foot on the continents.
So the crew would sleep on the deck. Did they have like hammocks or something? Or just
not until they got to the islands and they found the natives.
Jim Cotis and his wife were visiting Charleston from Kansas. He said seeing the historic replicas was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, we just wanted to see the size of the boat. We'd heard it was very small, and we wanted to see what it looked like and how they lived at sea.
Columbus didn't actually have that tough a time crossing the sea, according to Zink. What was a problem was exposure, because the sailors slept on the deck and random storms once they neared land.
They didn't experience anything in terms of weather until they actually approached the islands. But the crews of 24, for example, on this ship, 18 to 20 of them were on deck 24 hours a day. What they had to have experienced was merciless in terms of the sun on the deck and or storms otherwise. There was no evading them.
That kind of life was what really gave Cotis pause.
I can't imagine sleeping out on the deck all the time in all conditions, especially with waves coming over the deck and kind of a wet night.
Zink said the ships have enormous value as teaching tools, an experience that students cannot get in a classroom.
They've got all their senses kicking in. They can feel the wood. They can feel all the lines that we have on the ship. You can smell the pine tar that we used on these ships. You can hear the gulls. You can hear the water lapping on the hull. You'll experience how small the ships actually were. You get a sense of what it had to have been like living on the deck of this ship.
Zink intends to continue sailing on the ships for a long time, and he has a good example. The ship's former cook joined the crew when she was 80, retiring at age 88. Zink said if she could do it, so can he. This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.